Maybe. Could be. Okay. But as we begin to look at assurance as it relates to our walks with Christ, it becomes a lot more difficult to feel and to know every day throughout the trials we walk through or the struggles that we deal with sin, that we are one with Christ, that we're saved, that we are in community with the Lord. So as we think to assurance and what that word means, both definitionally and as we look at some of the teams or people that we look up to, there's two parts to assurance as it relates to Christ. There's the finished work of Jesus on the cross, which secured our salvation and secured our eternity in heaven. And there's also our reaction to it, okay? So the purpose and the goal of Satan is to drive a wedge between our assurance of salvation and what Jesus did on the cross. So as we look at how we respond to the Lord, whether it's through worship, whether it's through the lesson today, my goal is that we would feel like there is a bridging of the gap and at least a better understanding of that wedge so that we can be more knowledgeable and more aware when we face trials that try to separate us from God. So there's four kind of people, okay? And as we look at this assurance piece, there's four people. There's the person who is not saved, but they know they're not saved. They're lost. They're living in the world, living in sin, have no desire to have a relationship with Christ. On the flip side, there is the person who is saved and who knows they're saved. They're living under grace. They're bearing fruit. They are on fire for the Lord. They're just killing it. We all know people like that. People we strive to be like, but sometimes, you know, it comparatively it's difficult to live up to the standards of what we feel is a really godly, Christ-like life. Next, you have the person who thinks they're saved, or I'm sorry, the person who thinks they're saved, but they're not, but they live in this kind of mindset or mental mode of they think they're saved, which is this is a dangerous place to be, okay? And then lastly, you have the person who is saved, but doesn't always feel like they know they're saved. And raise your hand if you feel like you've ever fallen into this bucket. I got both hands up. This could be doubt. It could be sin. It could be guilt or shame or anything that takes us from Christ that we feel almost negates our salvation or brings us to this place of not even thinking that God would want a relationship with us. So the majority of us, I would speculate, fall into this kind of top right bucket at times. And so as we walk through, I want to talk through 1 John chapter 3, 19 through 24 today. And I'll read it for us before we get started. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what he pleases, and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. So if you take notes, I tried to break it out for you guys today. We got pillar one, okay? So pillar one is 1 John 3, 19 through 20, like first part of verse 20. And the premise of it is when our hearts condemn us, we must focus on the basis of assurance. So what does that mean? What is the basis of assurance? The basis of assurance is the acknowledgement of God's work in our lives. So verses 19 and the first part of 20. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. So our hearts will condemn us, guys. This is saying that our hearts will tell us that we don't deserve God, or that that wedge is so enlarged or so kind of radical in our lives that we don't feel like we're worthy of God's love. But we have assurance because God has worked in our lives, okay? So we're going to do a little exercise. Get introspective for a second and think of five times you've failed. It can be in the last week, last month, last year. We'll take 10 seconds and think of five times we failed. Okay, y'all got it? Next, think of five times you've experienced God's victory in your life. So raise your hand if it was a lot easier to think of five times you failed versus five times that you've experienced God's victory in your life. So that's what we're talking about. Our hearts, our sinful flesh, will try to convince us that God's not working, that God's not moving. But we know that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to atone for our sins and make a way for us to spend eternity in heaven with him. We know that. Knowledge is the foundation of salvation. And so assurance is based on God's greater knowledge of us. So God knew the sins that we would struggle with, the trials that we would walk through, and still chose to send Jesus to die on the cross for us. So how much greater is God's knowledge of us than our doubt of God's working in our lives? It's huge. And so there's a word, it's Greek, tetelestai. It's a financial term, but it means it is finished. The debt is paid. So back in Jesus's time, when somebody had a bill of debt and it was paid off, they would stamp it with this word, tetelestai. Basically said, your debt is forgiven, your debt is paid for. And the last words of Jesus on the cross were, it is finished. And so the work is done, guys. The knowledge of salvation, the knowledge of what God did, the knowledge of God's love for us is greater than our doubt could ever be, okay? So that's the first pillar, and that should give us assurance to approach God in confidence. So confident hearts receive the blessing of assurance. Let me ask you guys a question. Have any of you ever jumped in the lake with a life jacket on? Do you feel safe? Do you feel safe when you have a life jacket on and you're in the water? Yeah? Okay, so does your safety come from your feelings or from the life jacket? Life jacket, right? So faith in Jesus puts us in the life jacket. The work of Jesus on the cross is the life jacket. So we can feel however we want. We'll kind of ebb and flow in our, you know, response to God's love and God's grace. But the fact that Jesus died on the cross is more than enough for us to know and have assurance that we are, that the price is paid and we have a way to heaven with Christ. So as we get into the second pillar, it's confident hearts receive the blessing of assurance. So let's read verses 21 through 24. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So the kind of the first sub-bullet under pillar two is that confidence before God gives us the blessing of answered prayer. Now, before we jump off and say, I love God, he's going to answer all my prayers, there's some supplemental verses here to read and study and write down that we don't have time to walk through. But Jesus answers the prayers of those who are faithful to him and obey his commandments, okay? So in Matthew 6:10, during the Lord's Prayer, it says, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. And the premise here is to pray in Jesus' name is to pray for his will, okay? So while we may love Jesus and obey his commandments, that doesn't guarantee that our prayers will be answered in our timing or in our way, but God's plans are obviously bigger than our plans and his ways are higher than our ways. And he doesn't answer the prayers of the disobedient. So a selfish heart, a non-generous heart, won't have the answers or prayers answered like one who is working and following and obeying God's will. And lastly, confidence before God gives us an abiding relationship through the Spirit. So when we are one with God and we are obeying his will, his Holy Spirit is just pulsing through us, right? He promises us that he'll send his Spirit to those who are saved. And when we are abiding in God and when we have confidence before God, we are able to please God because the Holy Spirit is bearing fruit in our lives and through us. The illustration that is given is one of a Roman emperor, and he's on his parade after a major war victory, and his son is watching off to the side, and his son jumps off his platform and runs over and tries to get through the crowd to get to his dad, who is the emperor. And the guards around him say, you can't approach the emperor. He's on his parade. And the son says, he may be your emperor, but he's my dad. And this is the confidence that we are called to approach the throne of God with, knowing that he paid for us with a price. He loves us. He's made a way for us, and he gives us access to him. And so he's always with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. The Spirit talk here introduces us to chapter 4, where it talks about test the spirits, which we'll start getting into next week. But the equation here, and I want you guys to write this down if you don't write anything else down, knowledge plus love equals assurance. So the knowledge of what God's done, the knowledge of sending his son Jesus to die for us, and loving others, bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, loving our brothers, loving our neighbors, that gives us assurance before God, an assurance in God. And what that produces is a closeness to God, a wisdom, and an action to go and love others more, okay? And so as this relates to me in my life, I didn't grow up in church. I wasn't a follower of Christ until my junior year of high school. My parents had separated earlier in my junior year of high school, and I was really depressed, really sad, angry. And I came to know the Lord and had no concept of a father's love. I grew up in an abusive home where I never felt the love of my physical earthly father. And I struggled and I wrestled a lot with, how can I love this God when God the Father, Mark the Father here on earth, my dad, didn't love me. And never really showed me what a father's love looked like. And so as I worked through this and as I separated the two, I was able to see that God's love and God's ways are not ours. They're higher than ours. They're better. They're more than ours. And I was able to really kind of work through this roadblock and begin to forgive and make amends with my dad, who I'd felt hurt and wronged by, and actually was able to lead my dad to Christ. And my dad was saved. He and my mom reunited and were married again, married to each other. And so, you know, God not only shows his love for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus, but in our own lives, he takes what is broken, he takes what's a mess, and turns it into something beautiful. Faith in him, assurance in his salvation, assurance in the work that he's doing in us and through us, allows us to approach him with confidence and love and receive his blessings. And so we're going to have a couple other leaders come up and share a bit of their story. We've got about 20 minutes, 15 minutes left. And so we're going to have Jacob, Caitlin, Leah, and Blake come up and just share a bit of their stories. And let's give them a hand for joining us today. Thank you, guys. And thanks to, you know, all the cell group leaders and leaders in FSM who are pouring out and loving their students. So, you know, as we tie this thing up, a lot of you guys are walking through difficult seasons or have walked through difficult seasons. A lot of you have dealt with sin and trial and struggle that feels like it's more than you can bear. I've been there. And I would say that in the midst of that, even in the midst of great seasons, knowing that God is close and knowing that the work is done, knowing that it is finished, will give you the confidence and the assurance that God's love will never leave you, regardless of where you may be. And so for those of you who are in a low place and struggling on this day, my encouragement would be that you're never too far away from God and that he's constantly pursuing you. All you have to do is turn to him, tell him you love him, repent of what's taken you from him, and he wants to abide with you and be in a relationship with you. And so the worship team is going to take us back through a few more songs. I'm going to pray for us and close us out, but just want to encourage all of you that you're loved and that you're cherished and that a very real price was paid for your life so that you can live in confidence and in love. So let's pray.